That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Wasn't 3-1 Reading today, but it was 3-2 Reading. 3 points in South Wales. And welcome to another episode of Elm Park Royals. Been joined by Matt Lansley and Dave Stevens. Dave, how are we doing this morning?
I don't know. Good way to start the day. Feeling pretty good right now.
And Matt, 3 more points in Wales. Can we play there every week?
Yeah. you'd be asking that question after the game. I'm not sure you'd ask that question before the game with our record against Swansea, but it's nice to get that that monkey off the shoulder with that win. It's well overdue, I think, against Swansea.
First ever win at the Swansea.com Stadium, I believe. And what was it, first win in 20 years or something like that against Swansea away from home? So, yeah, lovely to pick up 3 more points. Dave, before the game, 3 changes to the lineup. Liam Moore, Obi Ajaria, both come out of the side, along with somebody else who...
Pushkas didn't start.
Thank you, George Pushkas. Yep. And I should have remembered that because Andy Carroll came in and had a fantastic game. Tom Holmes also came in, and Alan Halilovic. Liam Moore was the subject of, I would say, a lot of online chat this week as to whether he would start. Were you pleased? Were you in the pleased to see him not starting, or the not that bothered camp?
I was quietly pleased to see him not starting. I don't think that our problems can come down to a single player being at fault, but I don't think he's been at his best recently, and I don't think that we are necessarily playing well with him in the side. So I think that seeing him come out, I thought it was a bold move by Pauno. I saw Jonathan Lowe had tweeted that both Ajaria and Moore were left out because of injuries picked up during the week. I think that's a little bit of man management there, covering your players' back. I don't think that's true. But not saying Jonathan Lowe's wrong. He's reporting what he's told. But I think that's Pauno covering for his captain. I think it was a good move. And I think that the good result wasn't solely down to that. But I think the 3 changes did make the difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time that Liam Moore has been injured when he's been dropped, is it? I don't want to put anything out there which is untrue, but it's maybe just good timing, let's put it that way, potentially for him. Matt, we'll go straight into the game because there is a lot of action to talk about in this game. Another early goal conceded. Swansea came out very, very quickly, and it only took them 3 minutes to get on the score sheet.
Yeah, I mean, early doors, they pretty much asserted the high press against us. I mean, I presume that's how they've been playing all season. I've not really watched many of Swansea's games through the season, but, you know, they're playing such a high line and pressing so high. The one thing you probably wanted from Reading after the week we've kind of had and the just quite frankly dismal performance against Sheffield was a fast start. You know, or just not do what they did, you know, and after 3 minutes, we find ourselves just all over the place at the back end, Yeardom not being able to clear the ball off the line into his own net and 1-0 down. It was just like, at that point, you're just thinking, brilliant, you know, Swansea again, taking the lead early. We know we've seen this script before, you know, how many is it going to be? But yeah, it was a good comeback from there, as we'll touch on.
The goal itself, Dave, I think we probably get caught out a little bit too easily with the pass through. It seems to be one pass has kind of split probably 4 players open, and it's multiple players found themselves out of position. It feels like maybe we were just caught napping very, very early on.
Yeah, definitely. So bit of a theme of the day, unfortunately, the defensive organisation. Swansea were finding multiple occasions from this very early stage where the right ball through would take out, you know, three, four Reading players. And you can't blame Southwood for this. He came out, did what he could, but, you know, the man goes round him quite easily, Patterson, I think. And then it looked like Yadema got back and it all was going to be well, but he was kind of going the wrong direction. So, you know, not too harsh on him to say that maybe he could have done better, but I don't think it was as simple as he was on the line. Why didn't he stop it? But yeah, I think the key part is to look at how the chance was created. It was far, far too easy for Swansea to pick out that pass.
And I did just time your answer there, Dave, and I think it was probably a little bit longer than the amount of time it took Reading to reply to the opener, because less than a minute later, we had actually equalised. Dele Bashiru, fourth goal of the season.
Yeah, and he really wanted it. You could see a bit of fight, which again, I think that's, you love to see a goal. You love to see the way we did it, and we'll talk through that in a second. But I think just the fact that we responded in that way is something we haven't seen this season too much, which is very nice. But the ball comes out. Swift puts a wonderful pass out wide to wide left to Bashiru, and he cuts inside, leaves two defenders hanging as he did so, and then great finish past Hamer, who we haven't mentioned yet, but ex-Reading boy, and not a happy day for him to see his old club.
No, and I think it was quite incredible, really, because I don't think I quite had enough time to write my frustration in the EPR chat by the point that Reading had equalised. I think just as I was typing, I hate playing Swansea, I was there saying I love playing Swansea. It was just the most bonkers 30 seconds, really. I think that's probably all it was. You know, the highlights probably tonight will probably show it from kickoff. It was incredible. But I mean, it's great work from Dele Bashiru on the left. It's quite interesting because he keeps it all the time pretty much on his right foot. I think, I'm not sure his left foot touches it. And I mean, it's a great finish. You might, if you're a Swansea fan, you might be looking at Hamer there because it kind of goes through him a little bit. But no, it was just the perfect response to the most disastrous of starts, really. So
I'm fairly certain that Tom Dele Bashiru, and this is something that I always got told by my granddad when I was growing up, learn how to play football, learn to play with both feet, because I don't think Dele Bashiru really uses his left foot, does he? And that's but you know,
it did him well today.
He scored on his right foot, so that's all that matters there. Swansea really did come back into the game. It was very, very end-to-end, I would say, for the first half an hour especially, and they came back and they were pushing for it to go back up to 2-1 very quickly. Disallowed goal about 10 minutes later, 15 minutes into the game, and Matt, we've watched it, seen a replay, I don't know, it looks very tight, but Joel Perreault scores from 5 or 6 yards, I think. Do you reckon it's offside there?
In real time, I thought yes. In real time, I was immediately thinking that he's about 2 yards ahead of the ball there. It looked relatively clear, but then I saw a still of it, and it's a lot closer than I actually thought. You can't really see it from the camera angle because it's just the one from the halfway line. But again, it was just a ball across. I mean, it's a fantastic ball across from the right. I mean, again, it was pretty bad defending, really, but I mean the ball across the 6 yard box, it's an easy tap in, but yeah, you might have got a little bit lucky with that one. Maybe
it's one where Holmes has left it very, very early on. I think he's decided, well, I don't know if he's decided, but he hasn't managed to get there and it's gone past him, but got a little bit lucky with the decision perhaps, and fingers crossed, you know, Holmes isn't going to get caught out too often with those crosses coming across. Looking a little bit further into the first half, we've finally seen it. Dave's been back in this every game. Andy Carroll, anytime goal scorer, Dave. Yep. And this is the first game he didn't back it. What's going on?
Yeah, I started to think it was me. I kept saying it was going to happen. It didn't happen. So I kept quiet this week, and here we are. We saw when Carroll was announced, there were a few people that said, you know, are we getting like Andy Carroll, or are we getting Andy Carroll now? You know, how's he going to do? And one of the most popular responses I saw was people saying, you know, this is Andy Carroll in the championship. You know, that's a different matter. And I think that we saw that today. The touch from Halilovic back to Drinkwater, who sees the run, great ball forward. And Carroll just takes over. He's running. For a second, I thought he'd waited too long because two defenders get back, but he manages to clip it around. I think it takes a slight deflection and in at the Hamer's near post before he can get there. That was the type of goal. That was a proper centre forwards goal. That was. I enjoyed that. I haven't seen one from us for a little while. So, yeah. I mean, there he is, Big AC, as we're calling him. Never call him by his full name, right?
Never. I mean, the celebration, Matt. I was a big fan of the celebration with the corner flag rowboat celebration or rowing machine celebration. Not quite sure on the meaning of it. I kind of took it to mean, you know, the match fitness, but maybe it was something else. Maybe we'll hear from Andy Carroll at some point and he'll come out and explain that one. But love the celebration, Matt.
Yeah, I don't think the Swansea fans particularly enjoyed it. got quite a few boos whilst they were doing it.
On a point of the Swansea fans, how nice is it to have a striker which other teams don't like?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it means that they're good, right? The problem we've had for so long, no one gets mad at a lot of our forward options because they're not worried about them. They're mad at Andy Carroll because he's causing them problems. He scored a goal and then he's had the audacity before half time after going narrowly 2-1 up to do that celebration.
I mean, it was kind of what the day was like though for Carroll, wasn't it? I mean, he just bullied the back line. Like, and I mean, to be fair, the ball from Drinkwater to Carroll, it was on all games. The Swansea defenders were pretty much sitting on the halfway line, if not inside our halfway line, the entire game. You know, it was probably crying. Well, if you've got, you know, someone like a Vardy, you know, that speedster that can get in behind, a quick winger that can do that, you know, Mo Barrow, Yako Mate or someone, you know, from previous years, you know, they're the kind of players that you'd want in that situation. But we've not really got anyone to run that, even Puskas really, because he's not really the quickest, you know, over a half, you know. But the fact that even Andy Carroll was able to, you know, latch onto a long ball over the top, and I mean, it's part of it is down to the quality that he brings. I mean, his first touch, you'll watch it and he just kills it, just absolutely dead. It was like watching Ovi Ejaria in a 6'5" shell with a northern twang. You know, it was it was quite incredible, really. And then the finish on his left. But yeah, it's like you say, I mean, we've only got him till, what's it, mid-January, I think. But I think we just need to use and abuse him as much as we can, because no team is going to like playing against him.
And, you know, if Reading do want to sign him up for the rest of the season, might not be a bad idea.
FFP, like,
do that, I think.
Yeah, I think as long as FFP allows, I think we should caveat that with.
I think every statement we make on this podcast comes with the caveat of if FFP allows. But if FFP allows, I'm going to move on and talk about the second half. We conceded another goal just after the start of a half, Dave. We did it in the first half. In the second half, Swansea came out and they looked very, very threatening straight away, pretty much. And it didn't take them long to find the equaliser.
Yeah, I think the key piece here is that, I mean, we said it beforehand or just as the game finished, like, Swansea weren't poor today. We didn't catch them on an off day. They were very good. And I think that the halftime team talk was probably, don't worry about it. We're on top here. We've got the possession. We're making chances. We know we can get through. Keep pushing. And they came out all guns blazing that second half. And I think we're looking at maybe 3 minutes into the second half, if I remember rightly. The ball comes forward a few times. It gets knocked back. We're just not clearing our lines. And then another one comes in and Tom Holmes heads it out, and it's not a particularly good defensive header. It kind of just drops just outside our box, or it would have if who was it that scored?
Ryan Manning.
Manning, that's it. Thank you. Manning volleys it into the back of the net, unless I missed a bounce. But Southwood, no chance with it. It was a very well taken goal, to be fair to them. But kind of when you're learning to be a centre back, you don't quite get told to put it right outside your own box when you head it away. Right, it's not Tom Holmes' fault in isolation, because we should have cleared our lines like four times before then, but it fell kindly for the striker. Or he wasn't a striker, was he? Who knows? That's the other thing I'll say about Swansea as well. They were just playing all over the pitch.
You had Norton a lot of the time coming up and almost playing striker. It was their centre back. It was really, really fast paced, fast flowing, you know, attacking football. It's kind of, I think, what every fan kind of wants to try and see, you know, when they're going to watch a football game. It was just lucky, I think, that, you know, we were able to, or not lucky, but, you know, it was great that we were able to come out and obviously beat a team that was playing that way.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, not dissimilar to how we played against Fulham, right? Fulham were very much a case of, you know, they're a very good footballing team. And that's the second time now we've played a very good footballing team. And whilst we might not have played them off the park and had 60% possession or anything like that, we have actually managed to batten down the hatches. And although there was a lot of chances and a lot of shots for Swansea, I don't know. In the second half, maybe I don't think that they were that many big chances, Matt. I know we haven't quite got there yet, and we'll come on to them. But I don't think they had that many big chances, especially outside of a few goal-mouth scrambles.
Yeah, and I think a few of those scrambles came from long shots anyway. So, I mean, they were pretty trigger-happy from you know, 20, 25 yards, to be fair. It was a bit old-school, really, watching the game, wasn't it? Just end-to-end, long shots firing in from left, right and centre. You know, for a type of style that they were playing, you know, it often resulted in long shots from the edge of the box. But I think you got to credit, I guess, Reading for that in one sense, because it's, you know, we were
stopping. They shut down the inside of the penalty area relatively well, I think. Although, yeah, as you said, there was a lot of long shots, and some of them ended up coming like back into the area. There was definitely a sense of most of the shots that we conceded this in the game were from outside the area. So it doesn't feel like we were ever kind of like at a point where we were relying on Southwood, who did, although saying that he had a very good game, we were never relying on him to make incredible saves from 6 yards or anything. Going straight back to the 50th minute or so, Tom Delibashiru, Matt, seems to be a player who is just not a fan of conceding goals, because it took him, what, 40 seconds? He picks the ball up, hits the post maybe 40 seconds after Swansea have scored. After the first half's response, when he scored 40 seconds after the Swansea opener, and he almost manages to put us straight back into the lead, doesn't, hits the post, but Danny Drinkwater is there and manages to put us back into the lead to go up 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time, I think, you could say that you've seen two goals in the same game come so soon after the previous team scoring? It was just baffling. It was weird. Like you say, Delibashiru must have something against conceding goals. It was refreshing to see, I have to say, because it was like, you know, there's not many times we've come back like that. We'd perceive that there's not many times we've come back like that. It usually goes against us.
I think Glenn Little mentioned a game which was back in, I want to say it was like 04-05 against Brighton at home, when there was a goal in the second minute and then the third minute. And that was pretty crazy. But today it was third minute, fourth minute, 49 minute, 50 minute. It was very, very like bang bang kind of stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it just encapsulated the game, though, didn't it? Just with how end to end it was. I mean, every goal taken very well. I mean, it wasn't an easy chance for Drinkwater to take as well, which we haven't really given him the credit for the finish. I mean, he controls it very well again. Swansea might be looking at Hamer because I think it goes for his legs anyway. But I mean, it's still a great take from Drinkwater, ball bubbling and yeah.
Once a royal, always a royal. Thank you, Ben Hamer. On the subject of Danny Drinkwater, potentially could have been sent off. Maybe a little lucky to stay on the field, I think, by the end of the game. He did get booked sometime during the second half, maybe 65, 70 minutes into the second half. Do you think he was lucky to stay on the field, Matt? Because there was definitely a few kind of niggly fouls towards the end of the game.
Yeah, and I think with the amount of fouls he committed, I think in the first half he had three or four, to be fair. He finally got his yellow card towards the end. I know we're kind of bringing it down after his goal, but I mean, there was one, I think it was almost as added time came up, or it was maybe just before, when he just did a cynical, you know, tactical foul. And he was probably lucky the fact that Swansea took the free kick so quickly afterwards, because they got straight back up, took it and Drinkwater. Yeah. Got away with it, really, you know. But
there's one thing to say about Drinkwater and Carroll is that they're both just shithouses, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. Carroll got booked as well in the second half, and it very much looked like I think it was a foul pretty much for dissent against the referee, as far as I could tell.
You used to see this back in, you know, 90s, 2000s, like your striker or your experienced midfielder would be in the referee's ear, like, hey, give me that, hey, or you got to give us that. And it you don't love to see it when it's not your team, but it's kind of necessary, because I feel like most teams have someone who's in the referee's ear, and I think we haven't had that for a while. We've had people that just, maybe they'll be like, oh, ref, what are you doing, but they're not talking to the ref the whole way through. And I feel like Andy Carroll and Drinkwater are just constantly giving it some to the referee, just like asking, what are you doing? You know?
Without being too harsh against them, they're kind of dickheads on the field, aren't they? And that's nothing against them. I'm very grateful to have them on the field when they're like that. But for our team, you would hate to play against them, either of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like having Warnock as your manager. Like, you hate him unless he's your own, you know. So, I mean, I'm not attacking their character by agreeing with you, but I think that it's a side of the game that exists, and we're lacking with that until they're here. Yeah.
The second half, we have touched on it, Matt. The goal man scrambles. Well, just there's two major ones, I think, which we can just kind of touch on. Southwood was top notch once again with his saves. The first goal mouth scramble, he makes a very, very good save from, don't know the Swansea player, but he makes a good save from about 8 or 9 yards from a shot on the left hand side, pushes it back out into the area where there is a goal mouth scramble, and then he ends up making another save and catching the ball about 8 to 10 seconds later. Were we lucky that Swansea didn't manage to score the equaliser and bring it back to 3-3.
I think in a game that was open as it was, I think, you know, I think you might say that we were, you know, lucky, because it's, you know, it was so end-to-end. Swansea, they were having shots a lot from the outside of the box that, you know, then almost created the goalmouth scrambles that then ensued after. But, like, you know, it was a game that you didn't want to be sitting on a one goal lead, you know, because the way Swansea were playing, the way they were pressing, how high they were pressing. I mean, you know, there were times when we were literally just camped in our half. I don't think there's any getting around that. But it worked, you know, and that's all you can really ask for at the end of the day. And I think Southwood had a very, very good game. You know, he made some vital stops, but like you say, they weren't like one-on-one kind of saves. They were just very... Sorry, I think my mic just cut out there. I don't know why. it was just very, yeah. I think Southwood, yeah.
One thing on Southwood I will say is if we get to January, Dave, and Southwood is, I mean, he is number one now, isn't he? Let's be honest. There's no argument here. What is the situation with Raphael? Do you ship him out in January if you get the chance to, and promote a youngster up from, I know at least two of the keepers are out on loan currently, but do you promote one of them and put them on the bench for the rest of the season if you get the chance to, particularly if the difference between shipping Raphael out is then losing Andy Carroll?
Right. I think, you know, I don't know if anyone's mentioned FFP recently, but we've got this business plan. We've got this strict operating parameters that we're under. Raphael came in on a free, so I presume that we made up the difference with wages and who knows what else. So if someone wants him or he wants to go or whatever else, yeah, I don't see, barring an injury to Southwood, which I dread, because he's been the standout story of the season for me. He's been fantastic. Barring something like that happening, Raphael's not playing again for us. So yeah, if someone comes in and wants him. Yeah, well, hopefully he doesn't go beating up any whiteboards, right? I'll tell you what, when he got that knock halfway through the second half where he went down for a bit, it looked like he'd been whacked in the ribs. I got a little nervous, but he, tough as nails, that boy. Yeah, up again.
Luke Southwood knows how to get into the wars, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Kicking the ribs today. He's had one in the face, or two in the face, season. He definitely knows how to kind of like put his body on the line for the club, doesn't he?
Tough as nails, though. He always gets back up. He's always back next game, so he'll be fine. But yeah, to your point, if it means that we then can extend Andy Carroll's stay because we've got Raphael off the books, you snap it up. I think we've talked about it at length before, but anyone who's potentially a high earner, and if they're not critical to our success right now, time to go.
It's time to go, as the meme goes. Matt, there was one more scary moment with Baba Rahman, who, just to touch on him briefly, I wasn't that impressed with him today, in all honesty. I think defensively he did, especially in the first half, he got cut quite a lot, and then Swansea really were targeting him a lot in the first half.
Yeah, I think both fullbacks had a tough day, I think, anyway. I think Yeardon was very good going forwards, but defensively, I think because a lot came through the wide positions, partly because it's how, you know, Swansea were playing. They were shifting it wide, playing it back, playing it in. But yeah, both had a tough time defensively today.
But giving Rahman some credit, the goalmouth scramble where he is down on the floor and manages to clear the ball. The message that we got from you, Lansley, was I thought he'd just put that in his own net.
I'd kind of forgotten about that goalmouth scramble. Yeah, no, it was an odd one because he's looking towards his own goal. He kind of pivots his body around. It looks like he's almost facing his own goal, but he's somehow able to skew the ball outright. I don't know if he miscued it, but I mean it was crucial because there was a Swansea player waiting right there, really just to tap in at the far post. It was, but yeah, how he keeps it out of his own goal there. He was good when he needed to be there. That's all that matters, I think, for Rahman today.
And the last couple of minutes, Dave, to be honest, it almost felt like we were the more likely team to score. Carroll didn't get 90 minutes. Puskas had come on by this point. And between him and, I think it was Deli Bashiru, we won a free kick with about 4 or 5 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. And only one man is going to take that free kick, obviously. John Swift.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, not to score.
Very unfortunate at the score. So with the way it went, I thought for a second we were going to have that little fairy tale ending. We just put the game to bed. We get to celebrate. No more heart in mouth for the last few minutes. And he got it on target. Keeper probably should save it, but he flaps a little bit, pushes it over the bar, does what you need to do, and out for a corner. But, you know, Swift did what he needed to do. It was a shot on target, and it would have been a wonderful way to end the game, that's for sure.
And then once we did get into injury time, Josh Laurent Sometimes I will say he has had some critics this season, definitely. But the injury time performance, the 4 minutes from then, best 4 minutes I've seen all season from, maybe not all season, but that might be a bit over exaggeration in the moment, but very good 4 minutes from him. The 60-yard run towards the corner was fantastic. The pass back out, I'll kind of gloss over, but the 60-yard run into the corner to waste what was probably 30 seconds of injury time was brilliant, followed by a fantastic tackle from him as well, in our own half to win the ball back and set up another break. And Matt, one of the things that I think a lot of fans have complained about in this, you know, in this kind of poorer run for Reading has been that Reading don't have much fight and they don't have much character or spirit. And I feel like that second half especially really kind of epitomised the fact that there probably is quite a lot of fight in this squad.
Yeah, and I think to be fair, with the amount of loans we've got, people will always come back and question that. You know, when you get a loss, it's the way it always is when you've got players like that, when you've got players on one-year contracts coming up with contracts expiring. But I think it's a performance like today that should reinstill a bit of confidence, I think, for the fans that the team is all together, you know, is there fighting for the same cause. You know, I think it's refreshing. Maybe that was what Carroll's celebration was about. Who knows? You know, it's everyone celebrating together and all in it together. You know, I mean, it should, I hope, bring back some confidence to fans. I mean, a week is a long time in football. We might be cursing what we've said this week and hammering their work ethic next week. I'm sure there will be people that will do that anyway, like I say. But yeah, hopefully it does reinstill a bit of confidence, because it was a great performance. You know, I think defensively to hold out Swansea, the pressure they were under, and to just see that out.
Hopefully not an omen, but the rubbish truck has just arrived right next to me here. So if you can hear that, I apologise. But I had to jump in and just say, like, so it was shared with me the caption that Andy Carroll had used for his picture of his rowing celebration. It's all in the same boat. And, you know, I think what this all resolves to for me is just, okay, so they're capable of having that mentality. They're capable of working together and saying, we're all in this together. I think what I need to see is a few more games where they demonstrate it like they did today. If they act like they did, especially second half today, or even first half after, you know, coming back after that first goal went in, then we'll be all right. But what we haven't seen against Sheffield United, what we haven't seen at times against Forest as well, is any indication of that on the pitch. So if this is where we come back into how we should be, and this is the start of the new mentality for the rest of the season, fantastic. But I won't get carried away just yet, but I did like the celebration.
Hopefully no one's going to get carried away, but next week, massive, massive game against Hull City. They have won 4 in a row. I'm not going to get too carried away that we're going to go away and just, you know, play Hull off the park or anything, Matt, but it is a huge game next week, because if we do beat Hull, it's one more team in between us and the relegation zone.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like you say, Hull, they've kind of been on a bit of a resurgence of late. I think Honeyman as well, the captain's been playing incredibly, scoring goals for them. But it's one which, when you're down there, you're looking at the teams around you and you look at the teams you anticipate to be there or in and around, you know, relegation at the end of the year. It's a game you've got to win, especially at home. You know, it's you never want to tarnish games with must wins, you know, in November, December time. But, you know, I think if after today, if you draw or even lose next week, you know, questions will still be there. You know, you'll have the critics out questioning the players, their attitude, Paunovic's tactics, you know, which you can just put all those to bed with a win. You know, just focus on getting that win against Hull. Like, say, put another team between us and the drop zone, because we just need to make sure we just get to a point of safety as quickly as possible after having the points deduction this year.
And we will be back during the week. Matt Williamson will be hosting a preview of the Hull game at some point, probably Thursday or Friday. Make sure you do tune in for that one. We will be back next weekend with a roundup of the whole game. Fingers crossed for another 3 points, because I really enjoy hosting when we win. It's so much more fun. And so fingers crossed for another win next week. Great 3 points today. Cheers for listening. Thank you.